We're 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
Dominating the news headlines this morning, again, a tragic shooting in Aurora, Colorado. This is outside of Denver, Colorado. Midnight showing of the new Batman movie, and a shooter comes in and kills and injures 50 injured, at least 12 dead, maybe up to 15.
Right now, we have approximately 50 who were hit, and we have 14 dead. Police officers responded and found the gunman in the back of the theater, outside in the parking lot, in a car, in possession of a gas mask, and at least a rifle and a handgun.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. Johnny in Houston and Mike in Chicago. Mike, I don't know what we're supposed to do about stories like this.
Well, it's a shame. I mean, the unfortunate thing, there'll be a group in our society who will defend his actions due to some problem in his youth or the way he was brought up or the way society mistreated him. That's the unfortunate thing about these people. Can you have sympathy for somebody? Maybe you can, but I can't. You know, I think that there's a place, the Bible says it, that when people do what this individual does, you know, they deserve not to be alive, period. So I know we're going to go through all this and that, but it's disgusting. Why would he do it? What would be his motive? I mean, nobody will ever know.
It's just crazy, Stevie, and this is when you want to have the due process, you know, go through the facts, and then sometime around noon tomorrow, just hang him.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Well, that's what I mean, John, and I mean, I don't think it's being brutal in us thinking that, but my God, you know, 14 people lost their lives and 30-some are injured. I mean, for some what? Some idiot? For what?
Well, and there's no doubt about, you know, who did it. And you're going to get that kind of reaction because what else you do? You just want to get even and not, I don't know, you can't explain it. There's no basis for it.
No.
And most of the time, they don't live. They shoot themselves.
Yeah.
And this time, the guy just sits in the car. So now we got to go through the trial and the jury selection. It's a tough one. It's a tough one for, and yet, you know, I don't say we report all these stories. We're shocked and disappointed, but we're, you know, this isn't like Columbine High School when we were all absolutely taken back that anybody could. But now, how many shootings are there? We seem to report on them almost every other month. It's just terrible. But I don't know I don't know what to do about it.
Right. It's kind of interesting, yeah.
7:37, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. We go to the campaign trail. President Obama in Florida yesterday.
If you're willing to stand up with me and knock on doors for me and make phone calls for me, talk to your neighbors and talk to your friends, talk to your coworkers, talk to your family, we will win Florida. And we will win this election.
I think, Mike, you've talked to all your friends about President Obama, haven't you?
Well, you know, the thing is, he sounds like a carnival barker, really. I mean, exactly what he sounds like. You know, I was thinking about something, you know, overnight, and one of the great quotes that I've ever read was a Lombardi quote. And I just want to give it to you real quick. He said, it's becoming increasingly difficult to be tolerant of a society that only has sympathy for the misfits, the maladjusted, the criminals, and the losers. He said, pity them and help them. But he said, it's about time in our society that we stood up and cheered for the doers, for the achievers, for those people who recognize a problem and then do something about it. In other words, for the winners and leaders in life. That is so true. That is so foreign to what this president thinks is unbelievable.
Well, and Vince Lombardi said that quite some time ago.
Wow. Yeah, well, yeah, he said in the 60s, absolutely.
Around
1969, actually, was a quote.
Unbelievable.
And that was that troubled time in America, you know, when
Vietnam.
You know, everybody was this and that, you know.
And I said it too, Steve. I think that Barack Obama is not going to finish America off. I mean, he's a symptom of our kind of I say deterioration of those independent values and free thinking, and this this kind of solve a problem, take care of an accountability of your life, and that's what America has been, and that's we've been the world leader for the last 100 years, and I think Vince Lombardi saw that deterioration in the 60s. Well, it's kind of kept going, and I think Obama's thrown all real, I think, statesmanship and class to the wind here.
Yeah.
It's true, Mike. You're right. It's gotten to Carnival Barker level.
Well, and all this stuff too. Right now, why China and Russia? You know, it's very simple. There is no diplomacy with this president and anybody else. You know, he leans toward the Arab nations. There's no question about that. But there's no diplomacy, and China and Russia are not going to buckle to them. And then whether we should buckle to them or not, I know I wouldn't. I know President Reagan wouldn't have.
Why do you think he's so willing to stand down as a country? Why does he want to leave? Why does he want the UN to leave? Why does he just say, hey, we're just part of the crowd and we've been,
because
you know.
He doesn't really believe in the values and the principles of America. He really doesn't. The American ideal is that with everything he's saying, you know, you didn't do it by yourself. Well, you did do it by yourself. You get out of life what you put into it. Nothing less, nothing more. Now, some people might be born in better situations than others, but still people come from nothing and make something. People come from a lot and make little, because it's the way you run your life, the way you think, the way you operate, your beliefs, your thoughts, your ideals, your everything, your work ethic. I mean, it's so foreign to everything that this country was built on. What he's saying right now, it's a disgrace.
The problem, Mike, I feel like somewhere along the line, he got this radical view of success, which is evil and exploitive, and if you've succeeded, you've used someone, and he's going to protect everybody, and the U.S. has done this all over the world, and he's sorry and apologizes, and he doesn't see the reality, which is when we have an idea, when we exert influence, most of the time it's in the top three, and we help people. We've been a very good influence in the world, I think, overall. And when we pull out, Stevie, who's advising Egypt on who to elect?
Yeah, right.
You know, someone's going to advise them.
Right.
Who's it going to be?
Right.
And it turns out we might be one of the better sources of advice in the world, and we're pulling back. So there's a vacuum. Well, you see what's happening. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of kind of a loss of this march towards democracy and freedom. I think it is slipping away, and American influence is key and has been key. There's no question about it.
Well,
if you want to become a socialist country, and that's the way we're moving right now, you know, I just looked at that food stamp thing, and you watch the people go in, they spend their money on booze and tobacco, then they use the food stamps to buy whatever, you know. It's just crazy stuff.
Well,
it's pathetic, really, and here's what we're doing. We're enticing people not to do anything. In other words, we're saying we can reward you if you do nothing, and that's wrong, because you take a person's value away, you take their respect away. You can't do that. You must try to get people to do something, to have a pride in what they're doing, to have pride in getting up in the morning and going to work or whatever they do. I don't care what you do. Whether you pick up papers or you pick up garbage or you cut grass, I don't care. And you have to have some pride in it, because if you do it well. That's all.
Now, 743, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
Work is being kind of mitigated on the welfare, which Clinton reformed, and now they're going backwards on that.
Well, they're finding work as a whole different. I mean, there's some of the things they say, okay, that's actually work, would be like reading a book.
Meditating. Yeah, meditating.
Meditating would be work, Mike, in the new executive order. And how can he
go? How
can he
stop it? I mean, somebody's got to stop this nonsense, this stupid media that buys into this book, this left-leaning media. It's ridiculous. I mean, reading a book is not work. I'm sorry. Inventing something might be work.
You don't think that meditating is work then, huh?
I don't think so, no.
I mean, but now...
Oh, man, well, maybe next thing they're going to tell you, if you shoot somebody, that's work too.
Huh?
So you get paid for it.
Huh?
Is that what they're going to say next?
You know, telling where it goes, it's insane.
How can you do all these executive orders to supersede Congress. I don't understand legally how you can do it.
Well, he just does it. I don't know if it is legal. I mean, we've never, how many presidents have just waived an executive order and decreed? And
you,
I really,
you guys
think
don't
he,
get it. This guy is unlike anything that's ever been in the White House.
I think
history.
That's true.
He's not a leader. He's never had a job, basically, and he rose to the top. This presidency should have been a layup. It should have been a Tootsie Roll, a no-brainer. And it's become anything but that. Why is that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting election. I'm still holding out that Obama won't quite make it, but it's going to be close, Stevie.
No, there's no question about it. Mitt Romney on the campaign trail just yesterday.
He said, if you think you're smart, well, there are a lot of other smart people. And if you think you're working hard, there are a lot of other hardworking people. Where was he going with that? What's he trying to say? That we don't celebrate and reward success and achievement?
All right, so that's Mitt Romney, and I've heard people
say... Absolutely. I mean, it's so right. I mean, the statements that he makes are so foolish. They don't make any sense. And, I mean, if he's reading those from a prompter, I would get rid of my writer. I'll say that.
He wasn't, actually. No, I think that's one of his... Well, he gets in trouble now.
He needs to read from a prompter, then, because when it comes out of his head, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, that's it. When he moves off of the prompter, he's had problems. There's no doubt about it. That's why they want to keep him on. That's why they have prompters in kindergarten classes
speaks. And you listen, even his Jay Carney trying to explain it. Yeah. He can't even explain it. He's tongue-tied when he's trying to explain it.
And then recently you had this report that came out that the president has had 106 fundraisers and no meetings with his job council.
Well, we've seen that. I mean, I saw that on TV the other day. Oh, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's really, this is not what America was meant to be when Mr. Washington and Jefferson and those people got involved and had that meeting down there.
Now I want to bring up, and I only bring it up to make a point, but Joe Arpaio, the sheriff from Maricopa County in Arizona, came out and said essentially his posse has determined that the birth certificate presented by the White House is fraudulent. Now, I understand it's a birth thing. It's not going anywhere. Nobody's going to pick on this. However, if it would have been George W. Bush's birth certificate is fraudulent, we would have been foaming at the
absolutely.
Mouth. Oh, my
Are
goodness.
Are you kidding me? Oh. It's the left-wing media. They don't care. They're backing this guy.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting to me was the other night somebody went out and found Barack Obama's half-brother, George, in Kenya, who's living, you know, kind of in poverty in Kenya, and he seems like a fairly intelligent guy, and the guy made the point, maybe we just elected the wrong Obama, because George, he's more of a free enterprise type of guy, and he's lamenting that Kenya, you know, they got their independence, but they're in terrible shape, and by the way, you know, and I'm not for handouts to anybody, but boy, your own family, you'd think your half brother, you'd have some relationship. I don't know, but it was very interesting.
Zero.
Well, I tell you what, Abraham Lincoln, Mike, and I know you love to quote him. He said, "We would never lose to a foreign power, but we could tear ourselves apart from within."
From within.
Is that happening?
Within, absolutely. When you start, when the main thing on your agenda is to great class warfare and divide this country into different classes, have the middle class against the upper class. This, hey, you know, we are what we are. You become what you are because of what you do, period. There's nothing else you can say about that. I don't care if you're born into poverty or not, you can come out of it.
But we built
the individual has to do something.
Well, we built the roads for you, Mike. We sent
well,
you.
Well, I understand that. Yeah, you built the roads for me with my money.
Yeah, that's right.
Stop it.
But I'll tell you,
stop the nonsense.
It's worse than that, even, Mike. Class warfare is just a general term. The way you approach that is by making people think that if you've got something they don't, you must have cheated them. You've got something
that's what he's trying.
Millionaires,
that's
it's just your
about.
Neighbor has
it's
something,
divisive.
Like two
it's
cars instead of one. And that's how you fall apart.
To go against people for no reason.
Exactly.
That's what it was all about in our country.
It's
but
just
because of his thinking and his talking and the talking points he brings up, that's all he brings up.
any form of success, Steve, you should resent, because I could have done that. You just got lucky.
Yeah.
I was the one who probably should be getting whatever you got. That's
well,
the
let
problem.
Me tell you
it's
something. The guy who got lucky,
approach,
you know
which
who
is
that
absolutely
is,
yeah. terrible. And no
he got
team.
Extremely lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, no team. How would a football team work with that kind of thing?
Oh, you can't. Nothing works that way, John. But, I mean, it's just that, you know, the media tolerates the bull with BS because they don't know any better either. They think, oh, well, he must be saying the truth. Everybody,
yeah.
Nobody can do it on their own. Bull crap. Everybody does it on their own, or doesn't get done, period.
I think the when he was talking about that whole you didn't do this on your own, all that stuff, I really think, you know, it wasn't necessary for him to, you know, kind of laugh at the hard workers and say there's a lot of hard workers, a lot of smart people. I always, you know, I'm taken back by all the smart people. There's a lot of smart. Well, why would you demean the exceptionalism of the American? It's just unbelievable. I could not believe when I heard that whole thing.
Because, I mean, but how much do you see about this in the mainstream media?
No.
I mean, you don't.
No.
And it's pathetic. And then after a while, you get tired of it. And you know, so therefore, you say, well, why don't people watch CNN anymore? Why watch NBC News? Because it's so biased. Now, at least you get a point of view. It might be a little more to the right against with Fox, but at least you get a double point of view. You understand what's going on.
Yeah.
They talk both sides.
Well,
I think that I agree. Fox gets pushed a little right just in reaction to the rest of it, but I think they're making an effort to get people
right,
from both sides talking about it.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you listen to Rachel Maddow? Come on. or what is that guy?
Don't get too hard on
Chris,
her.
Show, come on.
Chris Matthews.
These people they shouldn't even be in this country.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you want to know? I've been up since 4 o'clock watching this British Open. What else do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the British Open. That's what I want. I can't believe Brent Snedeker is 4 shots ahead.
What a great young man
wow.
he is. There's a guy who's got his value system right. And he's a great young man. But he's making every putt inside. Just make one.
I know.
Well, some of us haven't been up since 4. What Brent do, Stevie?
He's well, how many unders is this morning? 10? 8? 6? 6?
No, he's 10 now. He shot 30 on the front.
Jiminy Christmas.
Oh, minus 4 on the front, Johnny. I mean, it's a British Open. It's Lynx Golf. I just saw a guy, Mike. Please explain this to me. I just saw a guy hit a ball out of a puddle in the sand. Don't you get a drop on that?
No, no. Well, here's what his option was. Now he could have went to the back of the trap and taken a drop, but that makes it was a downhill lie in the back of the trap.
So
he opted to hit it from where he hit it.
I got you.
And it was Shane Bradley was the guy.
Okay.
And he hit it on the green. He hit it about 15 feet away. Didn't make the putt, but it was no different. I mean, it would have been a harder shot if he would have dropped it back where he had to drop it because it was a downhill lie. By God, you ever see bunkers like that in your life?
No. It's just.
This course is killing Mickelson.
Mickelson.
He said earlier, you can't hit it in a trap and play it, and he's hit it in every trap on the golf course.
Well, Johnny Phil had to hit it right-handed and sideways.
Right, exactly, and he tried to spin it around.
He didn't get it out.
Trap, but it went up against the other lip.
Yeah.
He could barely get it out of that.
It's
unbelievable
what you see at this Open. I think it's so popular because you see these the best players in the world have these incredibly hard and impossible shots.
Let me say one thing, and I'm not, you know, being derogatory toward the course. We have so many public courses in America that are better than this golf course. I didn't say they were harder.
Yeah, right.
But everything is better. I mean, condition-wise, everything. I'm just saying.
Well,
but this golf course is what it is. I mean, those bunkers are out there for a reason. And you know, there doesn't have to be a tree there. That if you get in that bunker, it's worse than being by a tree.
No question.
Well, Stevie, don't forget that. Maybe that explains the myth. The golf lore says that there are 18 holes of golf because there were 18 shots in a bottle of scotch. Because to play out there, you probably have to have a shot a hole. I guess.
That's right. I tell you what, it's always fun, and I love, you know, getting a chance. I know Christian. My oldest triplet woke up at 4 yesterday before a golf tournament and watched for 4 hours before he had to go play. And by the way, my son Christian, Mike, posed this question to me that I was incapable of answering. I could not answer, and I said I was going to ask Mike and Johnny because they have way more wisdom and control over such questions. Christian said, if you had to pick a president for life, would it be Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi? And I was incapable of responding.
President,
That would be a great example of jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. You don't want to do that. You tell Christian that he's got to be a better candidate. Talk about better candidates, but not.
Well, Christian won a golf tournament yesterday.
Yeah,
didn't he
won by seven shots. Now he's
terrific.
Now. He's going to be.
Well, I'm playing in a golf tournament right now. We were rained out yesterday, so we got to go again today, and then we'll move it on to tomorrow probably. What is today? Friday, Saturday. It might even go into Sunday because this is a big invitational tournament, and we won our first match.
Well, good
and
for you.
And we're not very good, me and my partner. We're not good.
Hey, finally, I want to mention Janet, my wife, Gracie, Miss Illinois Outstanding Team, Miss America, Nathaniel, and Miss America 2003, Erica Harold, all enjoyed dinner last night at Ditka's.
No kidding.
They were there. They were there from, 7:30 to 8:30.
I wish I had known. No one told me that.
Well, I could have got there last night, but
I came home and went to bed, I'll be honest with you.
Well, listen, I didn't know they were even going to go to Ditka's until the last minute. So they showed, Gracie said the meatloaf was ridiculous. It was unbelievably great.
Well, if they had the meatloaf stack, that's pretty interesting.
Oh, it was fantastic. And Nathaniel had the stuffed chicken. The Ditka's restaurant, folks. It is if you've not been to Ditka's restaurant, it is phenomenal. I mean,
that's fantastic. Yeah, tell you what, you got to go
food.
Up there and go,
we're
to
we're
Ditka's.
Not phenomenal. You know, there are places that are prettier, and it's real. The food's real. We don't get any orchids on the food, nothing like that. You know, sometimes I get mad because they put this parsley on the plate. I say, what the hell is that for? Well, decorate, get it out of here.
It's color. It's good
You're
color. I tell you what, the food is fantastic. Steve, the steak's there, too. Just talk about the steak.
No, Gracie was still talking about the pot roast nachos.
Yeah, no, they're good.
He needs to stay away from those.
Oh, my gosh, it's unbelievable. Mike and Johnny, you're always the best. I really appreciate bringing sense to a crazy world. I appreciate your time. As always, we'll talk Monday.
All right, we'll Stevie. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. Favorite feature of the week here. Along, of course, Bill Melberg, who's up in an hour. Anyway, it's head shaker. But he said it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, he did. A few times.
This was opening the spigot of stomach.
Yes, it was.
And so we will get our winner on the line here after the hour and replay exactly when he said it. He said it several times.
Yeah, congratulations, Heath of Champaign.
Heath?
Heath.
Heath's got $50.
I know.
This Wall Street Journal update.